God's people said, amen. Thank you, Molly. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning as we get ready to start our new series. God, I want to be happy. Amen. God, I want to be happy. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 22. That's when we're beginning to start in our series. I want to try to encourage you to get plugged into a life group as we go through this. My messages will not really directly tie in to the series, although I'm going along with it. I watch the series, I'm teaching the series, but I don't really kind of go along. I'll tell you, you'll hear some of it come out, but a lot of you guys will, if you've watched it already, some of you, I want to encourage you to watch the complete message in our life groups. Especially if you're a teacher, I want you to do that. I mean, like I said, we're only showing about a 17-minute segment of our thing, and so if you're a teacher, I hope you'll watch the whole segment. I mean, it leaves a lot out that you're going to miss, and because they're trying to do it where, you know, most people's attention to stands about 5 minutes, and so they're trying to do it where it accommodates us to be able to do all our stuff and then have a discussion at the end and everything. But I want to encourage you to watch the whole thing. It's really some good stuff here. So my title is, our series is going to be, God, I Want to Be Happy. And that's why we want to be happy. A lot of times we feel guilty about that, but that shouldn't be a reason. Next week we're going to get into the Beatitudes, and you know it talks about blessed is, and so we realize the word blessed means happy, and he goes through that, so that's going to be next week. This week we're talking about relationships. You will not be happy and not have good relationships. I'm a relationship preacher. I talk a lot about relationships. As you grow older and you deal with life, you realize the most important thing in life is relationships. And so that's what it's coming down to. So what we realize is this, is if we don't have good relationships, then we're not going to be happy. And that's basically what the message is here today. And so why would you have a series on happiness? Well, that's what most of the world wants, okay? Most of the world, if you ask them the question, you know, what's important to you in life, most of them are going to say, well, I want to be happy. And then a lot of people do a lot of stupid things trying to get there, okay? So what we're trying to do is, okay, identify us, okay? Let's don't feel guilty about wanting to be happy. All of us do, okay? Nothing wrong with that. That's not unbiblical or anything else, okay? But the thing of it is a lot of times we try to get happy in wrong ways. And that brings to more, I guess you'd say, damage rather than a happiness, okay? And so that's what we're trying to clear up here, especially when it comes to something called relationships, okay? So that's what we're doing this. It's something that appeals to people. We use the word happy. We like to use the word joy. My definition, my definition is happiness is what's going on around us. And joy is what's going on in us, amen? So I can have a lot of bad things going on around me and still be joyful even though I might not be happy all the time, okay? And so I thought about getting up here and doing a cheer of happy and you know it, clap your hands and stomp your feet, but I passed that, so I'll skip that part and we'll get into the message, okay? So, no, just kidding, okay? But anyway, some of you know how I sing, you wouldn't want it anyway. So look at the open. It says, what will it take to make me happy? That's a question we're going to talk about over these next few weeks. What will it take to make you happy? We're wanting something in life. We're saying, I want to be happy. So have you ever sat down and thought about, you know, what's it going to take for me to be happy? Most of us has never done that. You know, what's it going to take? You know, a lot of us are wanting success in life. Have we ever defined success in our minds? You know, where am I going to be when I get successful? How much, okay? Or what's going to take to get me set? So a lot of the things that we look for in life, a lot of the things that we long for in life, we've never really taken the time to sit down and say, you know, when am I going to arrive? What's that going to look like, okay? Or mostly when we talk about when it comes to happiness, a lot of people looks at stuff, and that's what Andy Stanley's going to be talking about today. He's be talking about it's not what we have, it's who we have, okay? And so it's not what, but it's who, and it's talking about relationships, and we have to understand it. When it's talking about stuff, we need to realize that it always takes a little bit what? Yeah, a few of you know it. Yeah, it always takes a little bit more. I mean, you can take people that's got millions, or you can take people that's barely getting by, and it's always just a little bit more for me to be happy. And I think that's the devil's trick, okay? That's our idol in America today. Our idol in America today is materialism. We're caught in that trap. We think bigger and better and newer is what's going to get us happy. That's where a lot of us are caught up. That's why you buy things you don't want with money you don't have to impress people you don't like. And about the time you catch up with the Joneses, they refinance, okay? And then you're at it again, okay? And that's what it is. We call it the American dream is what we call it. When people come to this country, a lot of foreign folks come to this country, and they'll say, well, I came here because I want the American dream. Well, have you ever defined that? Well, the American dream to most Americans is materialism. And I want more stuff, okay? I want more stuff. And what you realize is this, is when if that's what your life is thrown at is the American dream, it quickly becomes the American nightmare. Because a lot of times you'll never measure up to where you think you should be, because, like I said, you'll always be looking at somebody else that has just a little bit more than you do, and you think, well, they must be happy, more happier than I, because they have more stuff. But that's not necessarily true, and we have to understand that. So through this series, we're trying to help you to identify, if you want to be happy, and all of us in here do, we want to help you in being happy and knowing how to be happy and what that's going to look like in your life. And so today we start out with what? We start out with relationships. Look what it says here in Matthew 22, starting in verse 35. It says, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Now, I wish you'd underline the word love here a couple of times, okay? It says, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Anybody know what this is called? The great what? Boy, we have some Bible students in here, don't we, boy? I mean, this is called the great commandment. I'm going to give you a hint, okay? It's called the great commandment, okay? It says, Jesus replied in verse 37. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, okay? Then he goes on. This is the first and greatest commandment. I'd say that's pretty important, okay? Because why? Because there's a lot of commandments in the Bible. But then he goes on. He says what? And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law, okay, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to the great commandment, we see that it's easy to understand, but it's hard to live it out. As we try to give you surrendered our life with all our mind, heart, and soul, that's not always easy, God, because we're selfish and we want to take that back and we identify with other things, and Lord. And then when it gets into the second part of it, God, love our neighbor as ourselves, God. And God, again, it comes down to selfishness, and we think more about ourselves than we do other people. And so in these just short commandments here, these statements here that you're making here, for us that are sinful people, it's very difficult. Because, God, we have a selfishness in there that drives us to be happy, and we think being happy is being selfish, Lord. But, God, you keep bringing it back to the word love. Love is the key to being happy. And God, you're telling us the greatest thing is to love you and to love other people. And so, God, let us get that today. God, let us be that people of grace that we sang about this morning, Lord, because we're going to have to show it to others, and others are going to have to show it for us to ever get along. And so, God, use this message, God, that it might help us to truly identify truly what happiness looks like, God, because so many people are confused. God, I'm confused at times. And God, I want happiness, but many times I don't know what that looks like. And so, God, help us through this series, these next few weeks, God, to truly understand what happiness really is and how to get that in our lives. We love you and we praise you, and we pray this in the name of Jesus, and amen. Okay, so our lesson defines what happiness is, and you're going to hear on your lesson the week, tonight is there's three keys to happiness is what it is, or define the definition of happiness. It's peace with God, peace with others, and peace with ourselves. If we don't have that, then there's not going to be a lot of happiness. There's going to be something lacking there. I don't have that in your notes. That'd be worth writing down. It's peace with God, peace with others, and peace with ourselves. Because if we don't have peace with God and we don't have peace with others, we're not going to have peace with ourselves. We're not created to live alone. I mean, we desire relationships. The person that moves out in the mountains, have any of you ever appealed, I'm going to move out in the mountains, you know, and build me a house where when I'm not going to have anybody, any neighbors or anything, you know. Well, I think I could do that for about a week or two, you know, and that'd be about all I wanted of that, okay? And so because we're relationship people, God made us that way. He created us, and we have to realize that. So when we don't know the truth about relationship, we don't know the truth about happiness, then what we do is we resist truth, and it begins to separate us from our happiness and our joy. We begin to think that we can have it on our own. We're not having these things that we're going to be discussing over the next few weeks. And you will not have happiness in your life if your relationships are not right, okay? There might be a little segment of that, but when you lay down at night and you get alone with the Lord and you have a something against someone else, you need to realize that there's going to lack happiness there, okay? So how do we have healthy relationships? That's what our message is about today. How do we have healthy relationships? Well, here's some things. The first thing is remember that God made us different. God created us different. In Genesis 1 and verse 27, we see right from the start, it says, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, God created him, male and female, he created them. And so we have to understand that we have differences, okay? We feel different. We think different. We solve problems different. We act different. And we react different to different things in our lives. So there's differences in our lives. And that's not a bad thing, okay? That's not a bad thing. We have to understand. God likes variety. Look at all of us. We don't look the same. We don't dress the same. You know, we don't, and for the most part, we don't even act the same sometimes. But what happens is in relationships, that is what brings friction. The differences that we have in the relationship is what brings friction in our lives. That brings problems with our children, with teenagers, with husbands and wives, with workers and co-workers, with all those different things, our bosses. Is that all those differences that we have, we don't see them as good sometimes, we see them as bad. Because we begin to measure people up beside what we think and how we act and react to things. And so we think if you don't think like I do, then you're wrong most of the time, okay? And that's how it's common for us to think like that. So the first thing is remember that God's made us different. All of us are different in this room. And it's very difficult to bring a group of people together and for a common cause and to get us all going in the right direction. And that's what my responsibility is. And that's what Mike and Ryan and staff, if we're trying to get us all going in the right direction as we follow God and uplift the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because everybody has their ideas of what the church should look like, what the music should be like, what the preaching, they have their own ideas. And so it's just a miracle that we even have churches. Amen? Just a miracle that we even have churches with all the volunteers and things like that. Because we have our differences and different ideas. The second thing you see is we have to accept our differences. That I have to accept our differences. If I'm ever going to have a healthy relationship with people, I've got to accept that they're different from me. And we have to understand that, okay? So how are we happy in relationships? Accepting each other for who they are. You've got to accept the person even though they're different. Romans 15 and verse 7 says this. It says, accept one another then just as Christ accepted you. There's a good example. In order to bring praise to God. And so accept doesn't mean we approve of everyone. See, the first thing you have to understand is this. And this is something I didn't learn until later in my life as a Christian. When I accept someone, that doesn't necessarily mean that I approve of them. I might not approve of their lifestyle. I might not approve of a lot of things that they do, okay? But it just doesn't mean that I don't accept that person. And so I can walk hand in hand with them and not be arm in arm with them because there's some things that we're going to have differences. I can assure you if we begin to talk about, especially religion and politics, okay, I can assure you we're going to find some differences in the way that we think and the way that we look at life, okay? But that doesn't mean that I don't accept people. It just means that I don't approve of some of the things of their lives. And you need to realize it's okay if they don't approve of everything you think either, okay? I mean, I was a person that I defended my rights, I defended what I thought. And that's like, I mean, listen, you can do that and not be argumentative about it. Because when you're argumentative, it shuts down. And what you're basically saying is you're just stupid. And if you don't think like I do, then you're wrong, okay? And let me tell you what, you might not realize this, but you're probably wrong in some areas that you might never have thought through like. So one of the things is that's a good thing about discussion. It's a good thing about debate. I like to watch a lot of documentary shows. And so the reason it is a lot of times is because I like to learn about things. But a lot of the documentary shows that I watch, I don't believe their philosophy. A lot of them start out that they don't even believe in God, especially if you watch science shows. Okay, they don't even believe the concept of God, so they start out wrong. But I can still learn something from them, even though I start out on a different page. And where they credit to things of different things, I credit all to God. I go back to God. Okay, and where they do it, but I can still do what? I can accept them, even though I don't approve of it, or I don't line up with their line of thinking. But instead of accepting, we try to do what? Here's where it comes down to. Instead of, we realize that people are different. That's not a great revelation to anybody. I think everybody in here agrees that we should accept people even though they are different, okay? And what we have to understand is that what we normally do is we'll say that we accept people, but what do we try to do with people? Anybody know? We try to change them. Yeah. I've got my political views, okay? I've got my religious views. I've got the way that I see different things in life. And so I do what? I'm trying to persuade you. I'm trying to change you. And that's not necessarily wrong until the point of where you don't accept them anymore. That you treat them different. That you treat them like they're stupid or dumb or ignorant or something like that. And that's where the sparks begin to fly. And we start saying things like this. People that are different. This is the words that we use. Or maybe I do. Is that they're a little weird. Have you figured that out yet? I mean, they're strange, you know. And what we're saying, they're backwards. And so we treat people, and all of a sudden when we see someone, it's a little bit different than we are. They don't look like we do. They don't dress like we do. They don't talk like we do, you know. Then all of a sudden we begin to do what? We begin to isolate them, and we think, man, we've got it right, you know. If you're from West Tennessee, this is the way that we think. And the thing of it is this. When I went to college, they began to teach us that everybody in the world don't think like we do. I'm from America, and I have a Western viewpoint. I mean, I view things from a godly perspective, and so I have a Christian worldview. Well, everybody in the world don't think like that, okay? And then when you have a Christian worldview, you need to realize it goes even further than that. I have a West Tennessee worldview, okay? That's how I see things, from West Tennessee thing. So if you're from up north and you see something a little different, I'll think, well, they're just from up north, okay? You know, you got to realize that, okay? And so all of a sudden we begin to do what? We begin to say, man, they're backwards, they're different. And really what we're saying is really they're wrong. That's what we're saying. We don't say it like that. But we're saying they're wrong. Now, and so we isolate. I remember, and we're not the only ones that do that. I remember when I first started deer hunting, I was watching a group of deer out in the field. And all of a sudden, I noticed that it was a young deer that would come walking up, and all the other ones would run it off. You know, it just nudge it and run it off. I'm thinking, well, you know, poor little deer, you know, it's a small deer and everything. I thought, you know, maybe its mother's gotten killed, you know, or something like that, you know. But it was 10 or 12 deer, and this little deer stayed over here by itself. And it would try to move its way into the little family, you know, a little unit or pack or whatever you want to call it, you know. And the other deer would run it off. And I'm thinking, well, man, what's wrong with that? So I got my binoculars. I was looking at the little rascal. And so I got to looking, and all of a sudden, he had his eye put out. He'd got his eye damaged, and it had a scab over his eye. And so he was what? He was different, you know. Well, we do the same thing. We see so much different, and we say, you're not welcome. We don't want you to be a part of us, you know. We're excluding you because something's wrong with you. People are like that also, okay? We might not see it in the looks, but in the way that we think. And so we exclude people. We just kind of push people to the side and say, you're not welcome here, okay? And that's not what God tells us to do. And in our relationships, if you do that enough, before long, you'll be over here in your little holy hole, and you'll have to hire six people to bury you, okay? Because all of a sudden, you can't find anybody that agrees with just like you are. And there's a lot of people like that. And so what we have to understand is our differences is where our problems come through. But our relationships are worth differences. You're going to have differences. You need to do what? You need to understand that God made us that way, and you need to accept them. But also you need to do the third thing is you need to enjoy our differences. I'm glad people are not just like me. If everybody was just like me, when I got through the line over there, when we have our meals, it wouldn't be any pecan pie, because I like pecan pie. And some of you don't, see? So if you were just like me, I would never get pecan pie because I'm last in line. But you're different than me. You like something else. Some of you like that old cheesecake and stuff like that. You can have it good, but I like pecan pie. So everybody's not alike, and we have to understand that. So we have to do what? We have to love people where they're at. That doesn't mean necessarily they're right. Doesn't mean necessarily we're right, but we have to realize that we have to love them where they're at. Start somewhere anyway. And sometimes we have to overcome some things. In 1 Corinthians in verse 13, it tells us, it says, love never fails. So what it's saying here, starting out in Matthew chapter 22, when you decide that you're going to love people, even in spite of them, you can go a long way with people. That you can do what? You can learn to accept people even though you don't approve of them, okay? You can learn to do what? You can learn to understand that people are not just like you. And then all of a sudden when you get to that, what I have learned is this, is I enjoy differences. I enjoy talking to different people. When I walk into a room where most people shun someone they don't know, that's where I'm drawn to. And we were talking this morning. Like Jeff and I was talking this morning. When somebody moves to Dyersburg, one of the first things I ask them is why you're in Dyersburg. There's only one or two things. Either you got a job here or you married somebody from here, because who comes to Dyersburg? Is it the view? I mean, no, come on. You know, I mean, you know, so I'm interested. You know, why are you come here? Who are you? So I begin to ask them. You know, I mean, and usually it's a relationship or it's a job opportunity, because people just don't move to Dyersburg. That's what you move to Colorado or California or somewhere like that for, okay? And so, but Dyersburg, it's not that place. And so when you love people, what happens is it makes you more interested in them. I mean, I'm very interested. So, and how some people think I'm nosy, okay, that's, you know, what some people think I'm nosy. I'm not really, well, I guess I am. I'm curious. I call it being curious. If I'm asking you questions, then I'm curious about you. It means that I want to get to know you. I'm going to tell this story, Mona don't like, but anyway, my son Adam's a real quiet guy, and he's got a girlfriend that's real quiet. So Mona and I was going out to eat with him here a couple of months ago. Some of you, I've told this story. And anyway, so we hadn't really got to know this girl. And he's talking about marrying this girl, you know. So we're trying to, you know, kind of figuring out, you know, she's from up north, you know. So we're really freaking out, okay. We're Ohio, I think, you know. And so she's real quiet. You know, when somebody's quiet, you don't get to know them. So we've only met her just a few times because he don't live here. So anyway, so we went in, and she knows me. I mean, all my boys warn their girlfriends that, man, my daddy's a talker, and he's going to ask you a bunch of questions, and he's a preacher, too, so, you know, get ready for it, okay, because it's like, you know. And so, and I'm like that. And so anyway, so we go in, so it was his roommate, wasn't it, his roommate. He's been living with this guy for like 3 years. My son bought a house, and he's tight, really tight. So he got a roommate to move in, rent a room, okay, so he's thinking, pay the house off. You know, that's how he's doing it. So anyway, so this boy's been living with, seems like a nice young man. I mean, he's a friendly guy and everything. So Mona and I have only met him a few times. So I go in the house that night, and Adam, we're staying with him. And so the boy comes in. I start asking him, well, what, you know, where do you live? You know, who are you doing? You know, he was kind of asking about, he's in some kind of a field that they invent recipes for restaurants. And like Applebee's and places like that, they're the ones that do the recipes, and then they figure out what you like, and then that's what they introduce. And so he had this new recipe he was telling us about, but it was top secret, you know. And so he couldn't tell us. So that's kind of, I mean, it's interesting, you know what I mean? So I'm asking him a few things, trying to draw a little bit more out, you know. And anyway, so I asked him, how did you get into this, you know? And anyway, he started working at McDonald's, and some guy comes in. And anyway, I won't bore you with that. But anyway, so after it's over with, he walks out of the room, goes to the bedroom. Adam says, my goodness, Dad, what's the deal? I said, oh, man, I know more about the boy you've been living with for 3 years, okay? I mean, you know, because he won't ask him any questions. So anyway, Mona and I, we get ready to go to a restaurant to meet his girlfriend. I mean, we're going to meet her somewhere. And so we get ready there, and he's driving in the parking lot, and he tells us, he says, now, Dad, I don't want you to do no 101 questions, you know. And he's kind of stern about it, you know, and everything. And so, I'm just kind of, okay, you know. So we walk in, and so this girl knows me. She's met me a few times, and I'm a question asker. So she walks in, and me and Mona are sitting there at this restaurant, and Adam's sitting there. She walks in and sits down. It's like, well, hey, how y'all doing? All right, you know. And so I'm thinking, well, what do I do? Listen, how do you have a conversation and not ask a question? I mean, she's kind of, I look at Mona. Mona looks at me, and she looks at me. It's like, uh-oh, what is wrong? Something's wrong here. It's obviously something wrong because he's not, they're not asking me anything. It's like, Adam, is it all right? We ask her, you know, how she's doing. I mean, what can I ask? So, man, it ain't no fun. I mean, you know, it's like, and she's, I mean, I can obviously see her looking at him like, what is wrong? I mean, something's wrong. Are y'all mad at each other or what? You know, but I'm telling you, asking questions doesn't mean that you're weird. This means that you have interest in somebody. Amen? There you go. You're talkers. Y'all know how I mean. Yeah, you know what I mean. So it's just showing expression. It's showing you care about somebody. And to have relationships and do what? You share with each other. You show that we care about each other. Relationships require what? It requires us overlooking people's faults, overlooking people's differences. Always remember this. Love is a choice. Love is an opportunity. Love is an action. It's not just emotion. You say, well, I don't love that person. Well, that's just your feelings. See, Christian love is to be put in action. I can not care anything about somebody or not be, I guess you'd say, where I agree with them, but I can still show them love. I can still show them that I care for them. I can still be there to help them. And that's what Christ tells us to do. And so what we have to realize is this, is that we're all in a building project and we're not finished yet. Amen? I'm not finished yet. God's still working on me. Pray for me, okay? God's not finished with you. He's not finished with other people in your life. And so it's a process that God's working us through. And it's a little slower on some than others. Some folks don't catch up too quick, okay? But you have to do what? You have to enjoy our differences. Understand we're not all the same. Start seeing life from the real and not just the ideal. That's a phrase that I use a lot of times. What we do, we go into life and we think this. We think, well, man, this is the perfect situation. This is the perfect job. This is the perfect wife, or this is the perfect husband, or this is the perfect kids. This is the perfect church. This is the perfect pastor. So we have this in our mind, what we think is the ideal situation in this particular thing. And then all of a sudden, we walk into this situation, and all of a sudden, the real begins to identify itself. And so we begin to base it on what we think the idea is rather than what the real is, and it will never be satisfied. So we have to realize that what is that we're living in a real world, and it's never ideal because this is not our home, amen? This is just a hotel. One day we're going home, and that's going to be ideal. But this is, we're never going to get it here, okay? And so what happens is when you start judging people based on the idea of situation, you're never going to be satisfied. You're always going to have something let you down, or they let you down also. So we want people to think and feel like we do, but it's never going to happen. It's not going to happen here. We're not going to have that. So what is perfect? We really don't know. The closest thing we know is Jesus Christ. Amen? And none of us are Jesus, okay? None of us are sinless. None of us have all that. So none of us are Jesus, and we have to understand it. There's no perfect families. There's no perfect jobs. There's no perfect relationships or churches or people. There's none of us are going to be perfect. And that, let me in on a secret, okay? Lean in. And that means you, okay? That means you, okay? And don't point at them, but that means all of us. All of us are that way. And so we have to do what? We have to give people some space to do what? To be themselves. And that's not easy. That's where the problem is. The relationships that I have in life that I enjoy is when I call letting my hair down. Being a preacher, you're putting in a glass box and everybody wonders about you, okay? And you just kind of like, you're weird, something's different about you, you know? And so, but we're really not, okay? I mean, God's just called me to something different, and that's all it is. And so, but what you have to understand is when we're kind of pointed out, or picked out of the group a lot of times, what happens is it's like we're spending our lives trying to tell people we're just like you, we're just like you, we're just like you. But what you have to understand is that I am just like you. I have my faults and things, and I mean, I pray about my faults a lot, and I've got a list that's a whole lot longer on faults than I do on things that I feel like I've arrived at, okay? Because why? I know that my faults, you don't have to tell me, I know they're things. And so it's not easy. That's what causes us to not to get along with people is the differences we have. Well, one of the things I wrote down this here the other day, one of the things that bothers me in people are slowness. I'm fast, man. I talk fast. I drive fast. I live fast. Everything about me is fast. And so you get somebody slow, it's like, you know, especially you have a conversation. You ever had anybody talk to you want to tell, you know, say, finish the sentence for them? It's like, or get behind some slow driver, man, come on, so everything about me is fast. And so, I'm not, procrastination is not my way. I'm always 2 days early, not 2 days late. And so it's you invite me to a party, I'm the guy that's going to show up 10 or 15 minutes late, okay? It's like, man, he's already here. Yeah, I'm here because I want to get there on time, okay? And so that's how I am. And so slowness, it aggravates me. And so I just have to take a deep breath. And identify that I probably got the problem, they don't, and just kind of go along with folks a little bit, okay? I've got to slow down a little bit. Life is, you know, I'm going to die early, and they're going to live forever because nothing bothers them, okay? Everything bothers me because I live that way. I have a kind of a lifestyle. Everything's got to be fast for me to enjoy life. Doesn't mean that I'm wrong. It just means that I'm different, okay? So enjoy that. Enjoy that about me, that I'm going to be there early, okay? You can count on me. I'll be doing it, okay? And so the fourth thing is how do we get along? Well, how do we get along? This is something we have to learn over life. And some of you will never learn it because you'll never really, you don't care about relationships enough to even care about to go along with it, okay? You're going to be selfish and, if you don't look out, you're going to live alone because, you don't care and you're one of these people that, I care about myself more than anything else. And that's not what, but that'll never lead to happiness. You need to realize that. It'll never lead to happiness. So what you have to do is you have to give them to God. The people in your life, the relationships in your life, you have to give it over to God. You have to give them over to God, okay? You might not like them right now, but you can love them because why? Because you can love God. There's some things in my life that I don't like, but I love God. And so a lot of times I say, God, I don't like them or that situation, but I do love you. And you tell me to love them, and so I want to love them. So what you have to understand is God, he keeps things right. He keeps things in right standing. I can't trust a lot of people in my life, but I can trust God to get me through situations in life. And so a lot of times you can't trust people, but you can trust God to help us see it through those situations. So you have to give people over to God. Our feelings go up and down. So if we base our relationships on feelings, it won't last, it won't be healthy, and it won't never lead to happiness, okay? So we have to do what? But we have to trust on what? We have to put it on truth. And we can trust God, and God is loving, and we can love that person without even liking those people, okay? And we have to understand it. So don't trust my feelings, trust God's truth. He invented relationships. He understands they're complicated. He didn't always get along with people. You know who Jesus, who he didn't get along with the most was? It's religious people. With all their rules and things like that and all their rituals and all those things. And they thought that's what kept them right with God. But what it keeps us right with God is what? Is our just putting our faith and trust in Him. And it's having a love relationship with Him. I mean, that's why He describes it as He's a father and we're His children. And we have that relationship. We have that. That means that everything's not perfect in us, but He still loves us anyway. You know, the ones that we're able to overlook the most usually in our lives is our children. We know our children are not perfect, but we can overlook that because we love them so much. And that's what love's supposed to do. It helps us overlook those things. So He invented relationships. He's the expert. And He's working on us. And we have to learn that God's not through with any of us yet. And so we just have to learn how to deal with each other and go on and care about each other. And then the last thing is this, is don't expect too much. Don't expect too much. We're sinful. We're sinners. By the time I think I'm getting conquered, something, it kind of falls, it kind of creeps back up on me and jumps back on me again. So don't expect too much. We try to put people in their place, in the place of God. A lot of us do. Some of you people get married. We get married, and we think, you know, I don't feel like I should because they're not doing what they should. And sometimes we make people try to take the place of God, and so we have to understand that. So a lot of times we expect people to meet the needs in our lives that only God can meet, and that's when we blame other people for our feelings. And so we have to understand it. And we'll say things like this: "You make me feel like," and then you just kind of throw in the blank. You just fill in the blank. "You make me feel like," you fill in the blank. I said, do they, or, you know, what we have to understand is that we choose how we feel. It's a choice whether I love you or not. It's a choice whether I accept you or not. I have a choice in those matters. Yes, I have feelings, but they shouldn't be the out in front of everything and everyone that I have a relationship with, because I won't feel like that many times because of our differences. But I can control my feelings. And when I stay close to God, the Holy Spirit keeps me in the real and not just thinking about the idea. And then, and all of a sudden, I can be happy in any relationships. Because why? Because I accept that person. I know God's made them different, and I accept that, and I begin to enjoy their differences. They're not just like me, and that's okay. That's okay. But it takes some time. It's something. It's a, you know, you have to get that in your mind. That's where our battlegrounds. That's in our mind, and the devil throws out in the world. The flesh throws these things in, and we just begin to shun people and walk away from people if we don't look out. And so we begin to use statements like, "I would be happy if they would." You know, "I'll be happy if they would." You know, "It's not my fault because they did." And so we always have the blame game. We blame other people for our shortcomings many times. Because why? We think that they should take care of the place many times that only God can take care of it. So, but I have a choice in those things. And so what's the key to relationships? Well, here it is for me. This is the verse it is for me. In Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. Now, if you want to know the key to having good relationships, here it is. It's in two verses here. It's not complicated. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's not complicated. Listen to what it says in Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. It says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition." Okay? It says, "or vain conceit." It says, "but in humility consider others better than yourself." Do you know anybody that wouldn't like you to feel better, to think of them more than you would yourself? Okay? Then he goes on in verse 4, says, "Each of you should not only look to his own interest, but also to the interest of others." Now, those two short verses, let me tell you what. If you can get those two down, you'll be doing a lot for your relationship. It'll be doing a lot for your relationship. You won't have a lot of relationship problems if all of a sudden you take away your selfish ambitions and your vain conceit, and all of a sudden you show with a sense of humility you consider other people better than yourself, you know. You understand that it says each of you should look not only to his own interest, and that's what we normally look to, it says, but also look to the interest of others and start looking for ways that I can change and be better in a relationship. So the thing is this, when you get into a relationship, you need to realize this. It's when you see that there's a difference in your life and you're trying to have a relationship with someone, don't look how you can change them, look how you can change yourself. Because, see, if you identify the things that make you feel like you do and you say, well, you know, that's this stinking thinking, that's not right. I mean, it's not anything wrong with what they're saying. There's not anything wrong with what they're doing. But, you know, I just don't, it's not particularly what I like. And so what you do is you begin to work on yourselves and you begin to accept that person for who they are, okay? That doesn't mean that you want to spend a lot of time with them. So there's a lot of people that I don't like, okay? But that doesn't mean I don't love them. And it's not that there's not anything that I've got anything bad about. It's just our personalities just don't match. When you're somebody fast, usually you don't run around somebody slow, okay? I mean, it's because they aggravate you. It's like, come on, it's like you're dragging them along all the time, okay? And so what you're doing is, but you learn to accept that. You learn to appreciate that about them. Well, that's not me, but that's how they want to live. Let them, I mean, fine, go ahead. They can be late to everything, okay? But I'm going on without them. And so that's kind of how you do. And so that's what you have to do in relationships. You have to learn to get along. So in ending, let me tell you this story. I heard this story a long time ago. There's two little boys eating breakfast, and they only had one pancake left. And so one little boy stuck his fork in it, another little boy stuck his fork in it. And so they began to argue and growl about the pancake and everything. So anyway, they looked at their mom. Their mother walked over and said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Well, I want that pancake. I want this pancake, you know." So the mother looked, asked him, said, "What would Jesus do?" And one of the little boys said, well, Jesus, he would give the pancake to the other brother. And the other little boy said, "Right, that's right." He said, "You'd be Jesus today, okay?" And so in our closing today, you know, who's going to be Jesus in your relationships? You know, hey, you know what I'm thinking about? You know, anybody in here got any trouble in relationships? Yeah, we all do, you know. So who's going to be Jesus in your marriage, you know? Who's going to be Jesus with your best friends, you know? Who's going to be Jesus, you know, in your life groups? Who's going to give in, okay? You say, well, I'm not ever giving in. Well, that's not being anything like Jesus. Because what Jesus would do, what? Is he'd go along because what? Doesn't mean that we accept everything. And that's where our biggest hang-up is. Well, if I go along with them, that means I accept them. Oh, no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that at all, okay? It doesn't mean that I approve of their situation. It just means that, what? That I'm willing to go along because why? Because I love them. And so in closing, who's going to be Jesus in your relationship? And the lesson to learn today is relationships. Listen now, we're starting out with this. Relationships is key to happiness. Because if you don't have a right relationship with other people, then you're not in a right relationship with God. You understand that, don't you? If you don't have a right, if you're out of fellowship with other people around you, then you're out of fellowship with God. We don't like to think that, but we do, and you have to understand that. Then the last thing, the application is go be Jesus today. So think about that. Who, if we talk about relationships today, who's come to your mind when we talk about it? Who's come to your mind? Who's that person that kind of just annoys you? Maybe it's your parents. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe they're sitting beside you, and it's one of those people that's like, man, but Brother Nathan, you just don't know my problem. You know, listen, we all have problems. We all have those things, and none of us are alike, and that can be a good thing. If we get away from thinking that we're trying to change everybody to think and do like we are, then listen, it'll make the world a whole lot simpler, and we'll get along a whole lot better. Amen? Now, what I'm telling you today is this, and what we're going to see is through our relationship. Listen, it's hard to have good relationships and not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Why? It's because he's the expert. He teaches us how to have a good relationship. He didn't always get along with everybody. He didn't always act nice to people. But he did what? He accepted them and he showed a love for them. How do we know that? Because he's willing to die for all man. Amen? He's willing to die. Even for his enemies, he was willing to die for them. So maybe today the biggest thing you need to do is get a relationship right with Jesus Christ. You've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior. Now, how do you do that? You admit that you're a sinner. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and died on the cross for your sins. The Bible tells us that God demonstrated his own love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, God died for your sins. Jesus died for all of our sins. And the last thing is what? Is confess him as our Lord and Savior. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:9, it says, two things we've got to do to be saved. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be what? Saved. And that starts that relationship with God. That's how it is. It's not hard. It's very simplistic. It's very simplistic. Even a child can do that, see? But God wants to save you because why? He wants you in his family. He loves you. He cares about you. He wants that relationship with you, with all your quirks. And listen, the greatest thing about Jesus Christ, the greatest thing about Jesus Christ is this. He knows everything about us, everything, more than anybody else knows, but he still loves us anyway. And one of our biggest things in life is we try to hide. We try to duck and hide because we don't really want people to know who we really are. You know, we don't say a lot of things because if they knew I thought those things and they wouldn't want to have a relationship, if they knew I acted that way, then they wouldn't want to be around me, okay? And that might be true about people, but God accepts us anyway. Amen? And he's saying we need to be godly, and that's how we have good relationships. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, dear God, thanking you for the privilege of having a relationship with you. And God, you're teaching us how to have a relationship with other people. And sometimes that's not easy because people are different. We're all different. But God, help us to, as we go through these next few weeks, God, help us realize, God, if we're ever going to be happy, first of all, we have got to have good relationships in our lives. Because the relationships around us, the people that are around us, affect everything about us, Lord. And so if we think that we can do it on our own or we can be loners, that's not how you created us. We're relational people, and we need people around us, Lord. And so, God, help us get past our pride and our indifference and our wrong kind of thinking, and help us to realize, God, that you want us to have good relationships, and God, want us to have friends and people that care about us and people we care about. And, God, the more we have of that, dear God, you tell us, Lord, the happier we're going to be. Because, God, a lot of that is what our happiness revolves around is other people. And so, God, we love you and we praise you. And we thank you for this truth that we've learned here today. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. And amen. Let's all stand. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God wants to give you an opportunity to do that today. You know, I mean, that's the most important relationship you'll ever have. Like I said, what did it tell us in our first verses? You know, what's the greatest commandments? Love God and love other people. That's the greatest thing. You get that right, man, everything else will work out for itself, okay? You get those things right. So maybe today you need to start a relationship with Jesus Christ. Or maybe here today you're here and God's bringing you to this church and you want to be a part of the relationship of this church. You know, we have life groups. We have different things that we might get to know each other. Sometimes that's kind of scary, okay? But still, we're doing life together, okay? We know everybody in here's got some hang-ups and some things wrong, okay? I mean, you're not fooling anybody. You think you are. What you do in a life group, you go and you share something's going on in your life, and a lot of times what you realize is it's the same thing that other people are struggling with. I mean, you know, you think, man, you're the only one. That's what the devil does. He isolates us and makes us think we're the only one that feels like that or thinks like that. More likely, no, you're not, okay? And you find people you can identify and show, they might show you how they got through those things. And so that's what called doing life together, and that's what the church is about. It's not to walk in here for a 45-minute service and walk out and say, we did church. Listen, we are the church, amen? So maybe today you want to be a part of what we're doing here at Mount Vernon, okay? Or if you have a need, you want to pray, Mike or I to pray with you or for you or something like that, or maybe you just want to come to the altar and pray. Whatever your need is today, you come. This invitation is from God to you, and you come, okay? Right?